Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Two Holly Springs police officers are on administrative leave after shooting a man. What we are learning about the confrontation.
The NCAA championship is on the line. NC State's men's and women's basketball teams are hungry like a wolf. We'll show you how the teams are gearing up for their big semifinal showdowns.
Also, rescue efforts continue in Taiwan after a massive earthquake that struck that island. How teams are working even as powerful aftershocks continue to rumble. It's been 8 hours now since a man was shot outside the Target in Holly Springs by police officers. His name, condition, and reason for that shooting are still unclear at this noon hour. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. That man is in the hospital. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us now from that Holly Springs Target. Chelsea.
Yeah, so Renee, within the last half hour, the crime scene tape finally came down at this Holly Springs Target. This had been an active investigation for close to 8 hours. You can see now all looks like normal, and this Target is back open. It was interesting to see, though, over the past hour or so, shoppers really kind of dodging that crime scene tape going in and out of this Target. As you mentioned, after two officers shot a man that was outside the store around 4 o'clock this morning. Now, early this morning, Target employees notified police that a man was acting suspicious outside of this store. We're off of New Hill Road. Now, when officers arrived, they found the man, and they said quickly he showed a gun, and then in response, two officers discharged their weapons, striking him. Officers immediately rendered aid while emergency medical services and additional officers were called. Shoppers, though, I talked to, as you can imagine, seemed really shocked and caught off guard this morning walking into their Target.
I came up here to come find out what's up. That's the craziest stuff I've heard in a long time. Like, I've seen and I've been through a lot, so this isn't that crazy to me, but Holly Springs just makes it 10 times crazier.
Now, right now, we know that those officers within the Holly Springs Police Department are on administrative leave. That is standard protocol as the FBI investigates. Of course, still many unanswered questions at this hour. The age of the suspect who was shot, his identity, and, of course, his condition. We're working to find those out, and we'll bring them to you as soon as possible.
We know you'll stay on top of it. Chelsea Donovan outside the Target in Holly Springs.
We're waiting to learn the name of the 18-year-old who was hit and killed by two vehicles along I-540 eastbound. The WRAL breaking news tracker was on the scene near Leesville Road just before midnight. Highway Patrol tells us a car crashed into the tree line along the I-540 ramp. At some point after that, an 18-year-old man walked into the middle of the highway. He was hit by a black pickup truck and then again by a tractor trailer. A man is facing a murder charge after deputies found a woman dead in a tent in Wake County. The Wake County Sheriff's Office arrested 57-year-old Joe Anthony yesterday. He's charged in the death of his girlfriend, 50-year-old Dorothy Smith. Deputies say they found Smith dead in a tent in the woods off Fayetteville Road Tuesday night. Investigators say she had gotten into a fight with Anthony earlier in the day. He is in the Wake County Jail without bond.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Vice President Kamala Harris is in Charlotte this afternoon. She is there promoting the administration's historic investment in climate action and also fight for environmental justice. Harris will be joined by EPA Administrator Michael Regan, as well as Governor Roy Cooper. The vice president will also speak at a campaign reception while there in Charlotte before returning to D.C. This is her fourth trip to North Carolina this year.
It's a big couple of days ahead for the NC State Wolfpack and their fans. It's almost here. The men's team arrived in Arizona last night ahead of their Final Four game against Purdue. Saturday will mark NC State's first Final Four appearance since 1983 when the team won the national championship. Wolfpack also won the title in 1974.
We set out to go to D.C. We wanted to have fun. Same thing in Dallas and so far. And, you know, our guys now are learning how to separate, you know, having fun, and then when we need to get down to business, we'll get down to business.
WRAL's Pat Welter and Casey Hintz are in Arizona with the team, and they'll be talking with the players later today about how they're preparing for this big showdown with number one seed Purdue.
NC State's women are one day away from taking the Final Four stage against top-seeded South Carolina. Today, the Wolfpack hit the practice court getting ready for that huge game. The team is in Cleveland, where the spotlight on women's basketball is shining brighter than ever. Head coach Wes Moore says his team is ready for the challenge.
Playing a great, great team. Big, big challenge. But hey, there's about, 356 teams that would give anything to trade places with us. So we're excited about the opportunity.
WRL's Brett Neese is in Cleveland with the Wolfpack women. He'll have coverage leading up to the big game with South Carolina tomorrow night.
This afternoon, we will hear from coaches and players from the Wolfpack men's and women's teams as we inch closer to those Final Four matchups. Those news conferences from the Wolfpack in Cleveland and Phoenix are scheduled to start at 2:35 this afternoon. That's when players from the women's team are scheduled to start, immediately followed by Coach Wes Moore. Men's head coach Kevin Keats is scheduled to speak at 2:40. You can watch those live on WRL News Plus, which you can find on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum Channel 1257, and on the WRL app. And we need your help tomorrow to help turn our garden red. Come and visit the WRL Azalea Gardens from noon to 6:30 and wear your red to support the NC State men's and women's historic journeys to the Final Four.
The gardens are in full bloom, and there could even be some special surprises in store for those who show their Wolfpack pride. Stop by tomorrow with your Pack family and help WRL turn the gardens red.
Low vaccination rates among groups at risk of contracting Mpox could be contributing to the rise in cases. This week, North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services announced a spike in the number of cases over the past 6 months. 46 cases have been reported in 12 different counties. North Carolina only had 9 known cases for all of 2023.
Vaccine coverage has remained suboptimal, probably in the range at best, even in the high-risk group of 35% to 40%.
The two-dose Mpox vaccine is free and available in North Carolina. We have listed some of the vaccination locations on our website, WRL.com. You just type monkeypox in the search box to find that information.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, a drug used to treat ALS is being pulled off the market. This is the drug we are talking about, Relievrio. The drug maker Amylyx Pharmaceuticals announced the results of a large clinical trial. They found the drug did not work any better than a placebo. It did not slow down disease progression. The FDA approved this drug back in 2022, making it one of the few treatments available for ALS patients. But this afternoon, we are learning this drug will be pulled from shelves.
Now to that powerful earthquake that hit Taiwan yesterday morning. Take a look at this surveillance video that shows maternity staff securing newborns as the ground shook. None of them was hurt during the event, but officials say 10 people are now confirmed dead and more than 1,000 injured in Taiwan. Janice Mackey-Frayer has an update.
This is Hualien, and this is not the only building that is leaning so precariously. It shows how forceful that 7.4 magnitude earthquake was, and this was the area hardest hit, just 11 miles from the earthquake's epicenter. More than 1,000 people were injured in the quake, and hundreds are said to be trapped or missing, and there's now an all-out search to try to reach them. Here in Hualien, they are assessing the damage. Crews were pulling survivors through windows. And buildings like this are beginning to be demolished because there's simply no hope to rebuild them. People have been going to their houses and sifting through what's left and what's been lost, lamenting that so much could be destroyed in such a short period of time. But the real urgency here is in the mountain areas around Hualien. It's where helicopters have been rescuing mine workers stuck at a quarry, but there are still dozens who are still stranded there. And hundreds of people said to be trapped on roads that have been cut off by landslides. Some of them are trapped in tunnels, and there are dozens of people who are stuck at hotels in a national park. Now, earthquakes are not uncommon here. Taiwan sits on seismic fault lines along the Pacific Ring of Fire. But they do have good systems in place to try to prepare for them. There's cell phone alerts and very strict building codes. But still, people are saying that they've just not experienced one as strong as this. At least 200 people are now living in temporary shelters because there are too many aftershocks and their houses are not yet stable. And again, the priority remains reaching those people who are stranded and desperately need to get to safety.
That was Janice Mackey-Frayer reporting. I have relatives who live in Taiwan who say the whole experience was really scary. In our next half hour, you'll meet my cousin. Hear what she had to say about the terrifying moments when the ground and buildings shook. President Joe Biden will travel to Baltimore tomorrow to survey damage from last week's collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Biden vowed shortly after the bridge's collapse last week that the federal government would bear the cost of clearing debris and rebuilding the bridge. Funding could come from the Federal Highway Administration, as well as the bipartisan infrastructure law. But the project may require additional funding from Congress.
Today, the search for Durham Public Schools' new superintendent takes another step forward. The Board of Education is holding a special meeting this afternoon. They'll discuss and take potential action on the contract for the superintendent search. Right now, former Wake Schools Superintendent Kati Moore is serving as interim superintendent. Today's meeting gets started at 4:30 in the afternoon. The State Board of Education will meet today discussing whether the Restart Schools intervention program is successful across the state. Restart Schools is a reform model available to any state school that's considered recurring low performing. The board will learn how the program has been helping schools succeed and will vote on renewing the program at some schools and adding more.
Next at noon, a high-stakes meeting between President Biden and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The conversation focusing on the airstrike that killed 7 volunteers.
Also, 600 pounds of meth was found in a home in Atlanta. The street value of that bust, and what was important about the location.
Plus, St. Augustine's University has gone to virtual learning at 12:30. How the university plans to award honors to students without them being on campus. Kat.
And outside of the WRAL Azalea Gardens, they are in full bloom right now. And tomorrow, we're preparing to welcome a lot of NC State fans to cheer on the Wolfpack. I'll have a closer look at the forecast for our Turn the Garden Red event coming up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
President Joe Biden is expected to speak with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. The conversation follows Israel's airstrike on an aid convoy that killed 7 volunteers from World Central Kitchen.
Yeah, the charity's founder is celebrity chef Jose Andres, and he says the aid workers were deliberately targeted, but Israel says the strike was the result of a misidentification. Rebecca Castor reports.
This is the beautiful, fragrant, aromatic rice that will be served today.
They were there to serve food to civilians on both sides. But earlier this week, 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike, a tragedy drawing worldwide criticism and sharp accusations from the organization's founder.
And the airstrikes on our convoy, I don't think were an unfortunate mistake. It was really a direct attack on a clearly marked vehicles whose movements were known.
In a statement, President Biden said he was outraged and heartbroken by the tragedy. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledged his country's responsibility and said it would investigate. The incident will likely be high on the agenda when the two leaders speak on Thursday.
We want to see it wrapped up as soon as possible and see them put in place any measures to prevent this from happening again in the future.
Civilian deaths have been a major controversy during the war, with Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry putting the death toll at over 30,000. Yet the White House has yet to change its stance towards its ally.
We are still supporting Israel's ability to defend itself against a still viable threat. And that's going to continue.
Another point of contention between Biden and Netanyahu, Israel's plans to invade Rafah, a Hamas stronghold in the Gaza Strip, but also where more than 1 million Palestinians are sheltering. Talks are ongoing about how to evacuate civilians without it resulting in a humanitarian disaster.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. U.S. officials are also still negotiating with both sides on an immediate ceasefire and hostage deal.
Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice says he takes full responsibility for his part in a multi-vehicle collision in Dallas. But neither Rice, his attorney, nor police will explain what role, if any, he played in the crash. This week, Rice made headlines after an accident on the North Central Expressway between a Lamborghini and a Corvette. Both drivers were treated at the scene for minor injuries. The people in both cars ran from the scene without stopping to see if anyone needed medical help.
A Florida man is being held on more than $1 million bond for allegedly using artificial intelligence to create child pornography. Investigators say the 51-year-old took a photo of a young girl who lived in his neighborhood and then used the technology to create the disturbing videos. Daniel Warren is charged with 14 felony child pornography counts.
It's pretty scary when you look at this stuff. If you just looked at it briefly, you would think it's a real photograph. He takes the face of a child, and then he sexualizes that, removes the clothing, and poses the child and engages them in certain sexual activity.
Warren was arrested in January on a tip. Since then, detectives have been working to determine if there are any other related cases.
Authorities are trying to find out who stole $30 million in one of the largest cash heists in Los Angeles history. The money was stolen from a San Fernando Valley storage facility on Easter. The LA Times says the thieves broke into the building and got into a safe that holds cash from businesses across the area. Both LAPD and FBI are investigating. Now, before this, the largest cash heist in the city was in 1997, when nearly $90 million was robbed from an armored facility. Federal agents took more than 600 pounds of methamphetamine from a home in Atlanta this week. The DEA says it's about $1.6 million worth of drugs, all found at a suburban rental home. Authorities say the drug cartels bring liquid meth to these homes, where they process it into their final product before distribution. The DEA says Atlanta's a choice city for cartels because of its location on the East Coast and good highway access.
Wolfpack women's basketball players are blowing off a little steam ahead of tomorrow night's big game. The home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, up there in Cleveland, and their coach Wes Moore getting into it for sure. Just having a ball up there in Cleveland ahead of tomorrow night's game against South Carolina. The comments on social media, by the way, have been hilarious and definitely in good fun. One person wrote, "Stick to basketball."
You know, they just need to pick a key, you know, any key. Oh, but great that they're having a good time. Yeah. And, you know, they're clicking together there. Kat, you heard that. What do you think of them all singing up there?
They totally rocked it. That's what you got to do. It is team bonding. The coach was rocking it. I love the dance moves. So I think they're ready to go tonight. We are looking for, or tomorrow night, getting ahead of myself. We're ready to cheer them on. And out here at the WRAL Azalea Gardens, they're in full bloom right now. It's bright. It's colorful. It is beautiful. But we're hoping to turn the WRAL Gardens red tomorrow. So we invite you to come out here in all of your Wolfpack gear and help cheer on the Wolfpack, both teams. This is going to be from noon to 6:30 tomorrow. And at noon, it's going to be really nice, mostly sunny, 56. We will cloud up a bit during the afternoon, but no rain expected tomorrow. 58 degrees at 6 o'clock, and then everyone will disperse after 6:30 to go run and watch the Wolfpack women play tomorrow evening. We are looking forward to it. And for the final forecast for men's basketball on Saturday, it's going to be right around 60 degrees here in the Triangle, partly cloudy skies. If you're not lucky enough to go to Phoenix, it's a pretty good day to be around the Triangle and cheering on the Wolfpack for the weekend. So the weekend as a whole looks pretty good. It is cooler outside, and I can tell, I'm sure you felt it when you stepped outside this morning. I did want to point out Roxborough, though. See the cloud cover there? We are going to be clouding up this afternoon. We've got the upper level energy associated with yesterday's front moving through, and this upper level low creates some lift in the atmosphere. That means we'll see clouds, and we can't even rule out a sprinkle through about 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can see the cloud cover swinging in with this upper level low. And we've got the cooler air arriving as well. It's 59 right now in the Triangle, just 52 in Roxborough. 59 is our warm spot, though, in Clinton at this hour. Not terrible, especially with the sun for now, but it is going to be cooler this afternoon with the wind and the clouds rolling in. And what a difference compared to yesterday. Temperatures are 18 degrees cooler in Roxborough, 14 degrees cooler here in the Triangle. And the cooler air will continue to work its way into the area. We're expecting low temperatures to even dip into the 30s here pretty soon. The winds are picking up this afternoon. We could see some gusts 25 to perhaps up to 30 miles per hour, so keep that in mind. Now for some not so good news. Today, we got the first look at the hurricane season forecast from Colorado State University. They have a great meteorology school, and they put this out every year. They're always the first to do so. Above normal number of named storms, hurricanes, and what really stood out to me about this forecast is that they are forecasting 5 major hurricanes, and that's a pretty bullish forecast to put that out this early in the season. But with how warm the ocean temperatures are, breaking records even during the winter months, that's going to be a concern. And this is no surprise. We've been telling you that the ocean is pretty warm, and we expect a pretty active 2024 hurricane season. We'll watch that, but for now, enjoy the quiet weather. We've got a great weekend coming up with dry weather. Just have the jackets in the morning and after sunset as lows fall into the upper 30s. Next week, temperatures are going to be bouncing back into the 70s. Jeff and Renee. Thanks, Kat. Coming up on WRL News at 4 p.m. A year ago, we told you about a startup with an unusual idea to help more people in the Triangle afford to own their own home. We'll explain the next step for this program, a new fund specifically for first-time homebuyers.
Then at 5, we'll take you back to the last time NC State women's basketball headed to the Final Four. You can join us for a time machine trip back to 1998.
Most people love to start their day off with a nice cup of coffee, but climate activists warn your daily dose of energy is being threatened by the damaging effects of climate change.
Fortunately, those researchers are arming their coffee plants with high-tech gear now to monitor the plant health, Chanley Painter reports.
As global temperatures rise and weather patterns grow more erratic,
before we had fairly unlimited water, now not anymore.
Climate advocates say the changing environment could spell trouble for your favorite cup of joe.
Due to climate change, coffee plantation is experiencing a reduction in the rainy season. This shortening of the rainy season is reducing the quality and the amount of the production.
While caffeinated coffee can get you wired, researchers in the East African country of Tanzania are wiring up coffee plants with special solar-powered sensors to monitor their wellness and water levels.
Sensors installed across the coffee farm are actively monitoring various environmental and plant health parameters, aiming to enhance the sustainability and efficiency of coffee production by closely examining the effect of climate change.
The idea is to have this technology attached to some plants that will be our like the voice of the plantations.
By getting real-time data on the health of the plants, farmers hope to come up with new strategies to better manage their resources. And that could help combat the effects of climate change from impacting the taste of coffee.
If you don't have the correct cycle and the correct temperature and the correct quantity of the water, you can change the quality of the pulp of the coffee and the quality of the sugar and the acidity.
That's Chanley Painter reporting. Researchers are working to power the coffee plant sensors with artificial intelligence, so that'll send alerts to farmers when they need to take certain action.
Yesterday's earthquake in Taiwan hit close to home for me because I have family living on the island. And I spoke with my cousin, who is physically okay, but she and many others there on the island are very, very rattled. We'll hear her take on the moments the massive earthquake struck.
And we have a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now. We're back in a moment.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Rescue crews are working to free more than 700 people in Taiwan after the island's worst earthquake in 25 years. Much of the damage was along Taiwan's east coast in Hualien County. I have aunts, uncles, and cousins who live in Taipei, about 2.5 hours north of that area. I've checked in with them. They are all safe.
My cousin Jeannie Wong lives in one of the many high-rise apartment buildings in Taipei. Wednesday morning, she was in bed sleeping when the 7.4 magnitude tremor shook her awake.
It was quite big and so scary, and it was so scary. Then I went up and ran out of my room, and I saw like my sister and my parents, they are all out. And I tried to just stand still.
The ground was shaking, the whole building was shaking. What went through your mind? What were you thinking?
Oh, usually I think most of Taiwanese people were used for the earthquake, but this one is quite big. So I was thinking, should I run or we just wait when it stopped? But during the time, I can hear like a lot of people like screaming, like my neighbors, that people, some people already ran out of the building, outside the building, and everyone is yelling. So it was like, oh no, this one quite big. And some of the sounds of glasses, like all the glasses are broken.
Fortunately, no significant damage there in Taipei, but the destruction is concentrated in Hualien, where at least 10 people are dead and more than 1,000 injured. My cousin says people in Taiwan are focused on rescue efforts and appreciate that people all over the world are thinking of them during this horrific disaster.
That is just an unbelievable account right there, Renee. I'm glad your family's safe. St. Augustine's University, meantime, held its honors convocation this morning, a virtual ceremony since the campus went to remote learning this week. The university celebrated and honored its top academic scholars. This year's theme, appropriate, soaring above the storm. Speakers acknowledged the difficult times St. Aug is experiencing while paying tribute to its history. The keynote speaker was doctor and entrepreneur Jasmine Weiss with the UNC School of Medicine and Black Med Connect, which is a community of black doctors and medical students. University of Texas at Austin is removing dozens of jobs to comply with new Texas law. Diversity, equity, and inclusion staff and UT's Department for Access and Belonging on campus are being cut. Texas Senate Bill 17 bans public schools from promoting differential treatment based on race, sex, or ethnicity. A Texas Senate committee will hold a hearing next month on how colleges and universities are complying with the ban.
Do you hate those super bright headlights on the road that blind you at night? 5 Underside's Keely Arthur looks at the fix that's just out of reach.
LED headlights are much brighter than the halogen lights of a decade ago, and we bought this tester to highlight the difference. We tested this older light bulb, and it read 876 lux. And then we tested this much brighter headlight, and it showed the reading at 1,126. There is a way to keep that really intense light from blinding you while you're driving. They're called adaptive driving beam headlights.
It's more like one of those IMAX projectors where it could actually project light anywhere you want to, in front of you and to your side. So actually computer controlled, it can recognize there's a deer or a person or a motorcycle or a bicycle on the side and either light that up or there's a car coming and not light it at all.
So. Tonight at 6, 5 on Your Side is going to explain why this potentially life-saving technology is being used in other countries, but not here.
Keely Arthur reporting for us there. We'll see that at 6. And we're getting closer and closer to the big game for NC State men's and women's basketball teams. Something new this year, ticket prices are now averaging more than twice the cost of the men's tournament. Amy Kiley looks at why.
I think it's been a special year for women's basketball.
So special, women's Final Four tickets are now selling for more than double what the men's cost. Logitix, a company that analyzes such prices, says women's tickets have averaged more than $2,300 the past couple days. For the men's Final Four, that number is about $1,000. And Ticket IQ says the most expensive seat to see the women Friday runs more than $11,000.
The number one reason why women's college basketball has gotten so popular, it's Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
She's player of the year after this ceremony yesterday.
Something I probably won't really wrap my head around until my career is all done.
And she holds the all-time scoring record for both men and women in the NCAA Division I.
Caitlin Clark is doing something that we have never seen before in the women's game, and she is shooting the ball from very far away.
Clark facing off with LSU star Angel Reese is bringing extra attention to the game. Ticket prices have been surging since Iowa beat Louisiana State Monday. Reese says she has her eye on the pros after declaring for the WNBA draft yesterday. Clark's got at least one more college game first. But someday.
If it's Steph versus Caitlin Clark, they might need to hold it in a football stadium.
Seeing her play in person, priceless. A rare solar eclipse is exciting, but can also be anxiety-inducing for some people. Ways to deal with what experts call eclipse anxiety.
And you might be surprised at the percentage of employees who take a nap during their work day. What a new survey reveals about how often they do it. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, just click report it in the WRL News app.
More cancer patients are opting to participate in research. New data reveals that of the people who are diagnosed with cancer from 2016 through 2018, at least 20% take part in some kind of clinical research. It also found 7% of cancer patients signed up for treatment trials. That is twice the amount of past participation.
In just 4 days, millions of people will be turning their eyes to the skies for that solar eclipse. Psychologists say some people might experience a bit of anxiety as this historical event approaches. If you notice yourself feeling a bit anxious, here are a few things you can do. Choose a safe and comfortable place to watch. Surround yourself with calm and relaxed people and practice deep breathing exercises. Now, if you ever found yourself falling asleep on the job, you are not alone. 46% of employees in the U.S. say they take a nap during work hours. In fact, 33% admit to sleeping on the job on a weekly basis. The survey also revealed remote and hybrid workers are more likely to sleep during the workday than those in person.
No napping here, right, Jeff?
No.
We have much more to tell you about. The American Cancer Society is hosting its Relay for Life of the Triangle this weekend. Coming up, we'll speak live to the leaders of this year's event about how the run helps those in their battle against cancer.
And sports fans cheer on their teams in strange and over-the-top ways. We know that. We'll have a look at the Iowa women's basketball fan that makes a picture of Caitlin Clark out of Rubik's Cubes. It's just ahead.
Not quite 60 degrees out there, but we have beautiful puffy clouds there in the sky as we look live at Fenton and Cary. Jeff's about to tell you about a fun event that's happening there this weekend. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
And talk about a fun and meaningful event. There's more than just music and basketball going on this weekend. The American Cancer Society is hosting its annual Relay for Life of the Triangle this Saturday. Joining me to talk about the impact this can have on our community, the lineup, and how folks can be a part of it. Liz Beto, thank you so much for being here. Megan Skidmore, co-leads of the charity
of
the event this week. We appreciate it. Liz, tell us about this event, how it affects cancer research around the world, really.
Question. So me personally, we actually use some of the programs that is funded by the American Cancer Society. They have programs like Road to Recovery that brings cancer patients to and from treatment if they don't have a ride. Mm. We use that when my mom is battling pancreatic cancer. And we also have the Hope Line where you can call 24/7 to get resources on cancer or sometimes just to talk. But the biggest thing is the grants. So with where we are in the Triangle area, there are 34 grants in North Carolina and about $15 million all on research. And that's just here. Okay. And that doesn't even cover the rest of the world.
We are the research triangle.
We are, yes, we are.
That's how it happens. Yes. It's real dollars, real money going in.
It is, absolutely.
The kind of support that cancer patients can expect, and their families as well, because, you know, the rides are one thing, getting your family members there. But through the American Cancer Society, what can folks expect?
For different programs, so there's different counseling resources, there's support groups that there are available as well, and then the Hope Lodge, which is huge. That is covered around the United States. So there are different hotels that partner if you have to travel. I had a cousin who did a clinical trial, but they lived in Florida and had to fly every month up to Boston. And so the ACS helped pay for their hotel stay and lodging for that.
A lot of folks leaning on those dollars
absolutely.
That come in. Megan, this is an annual event. It's a fun event. It's meant to be for folks to get out there and participate. When they get there, what can they expect on the day?
Yeah, so our event this year is actually at a new location. Okay. So as you mentioned earlier, we're going to be at Fenton and Cary. Mm-hmm. We start every Relay for Life with our opening ceremony and a lap taken by our survivors, which is probably one of the most amazing moments of the entire event, just to, you know, feel such hope for these people who have battled cancer and survived it. And then new this year, we actually have something called the Relay for Ribbons, which is a fun 5K runner walk. So that'll take place shortly after. During that time, if folks don't want to participate in the run or the walk, there is definitely tons of music. There's going to be activities for kids. There's going to be vendors. It's just a really great event to be amongst people who are so passionate about, you know, finding a cure for cancer and ending it as we know it.
Right, so from that opening lap. Every step is meaningful, certainly.
It really is.
Is there a fee to participate? How's that
yep.
work?
So it's free to show up. If you do want to participate in our fun walk or run, you can actually register at our event, or you can go to our webpage online and register in advance, and that will be $30.
Okay, look at that, on cue. Look at, we're going to put up the Relay for Life of the Triangle. Takes place Saturday, 8:30 a.m., Fenton in Cary. There'll be that survivor lap, the caregiver lap, new this year, 5K. WR's Brian Schrader will be out there serving this year as the MC, and he did it before.
Yeah.
So more information, you can visit relayforlife.org/triangleNC. Liz Beto, Megan Skidmore, thank you guys.
Thank you for
so
having
much.
Us.
Appreciate
it.
Thank
I know
you.
It'll be a great, great event.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, perfect. Renee?
Then those of you taking part in that Relay for Life or anything else outdoors this weekend, the weather will cooperate nicely. It'll just be on the cooler side than what we're used to in April. WRL's Kat Campbell is out there on the WRL weather patio. And Kat, this time tomorrow, we hope there will be a lot more people out there in the gardens with you.
I think that there will be a lot of people and you're going to see a lot of red. Tomorrow we have our Turn the Garden Red event for the Wolfpack from noon to 6:30. If you're a Wolfpack fan, wear your red. Come out here. Be in the background of our shot. We want to show off the Triangles Wolfpack fans. Today, it's beautiful in the gardens, though. There are a lot of people visiting. The gardens are at peak bloom. And remember, it's the WRAL Azalea Garden. So we have all kinds of different varieties of azaleas in different colors at their peak bloom right now. And you can see some right here below me. It's beautiful. Temperature are in the low 60s, but we are going to be mostly cloudy this afternoon and on the breezy side as the upper level energy with yesterday's system swings through the area. So, you know, just keep that in mind. It is going to be feeling a little bit cooler out there. We do have a 20% chance for rain as well. Just a few sprinkles possible closer to the North Carolina-Virginia line. I'm not expecting that to be any widespread issue. We're talking sprinkles. But this is the upper level low. You can kind of see that circle of cloud cover surrounding low pressure. The upper level energy with yesterday's system is what's moving through today, and behind it, it's going to knock down lows into the 30s for the weekend. So make sure that you're dressing in layers if you're headed out to the Dreamville Festival at Dix Park. The afternoons will be mild with highs in the low to mid 60s, more sunshine than what we're seeing out there today. But at night, once the sun sets, it is going to cool off a bit. Saturday looking more breezy than Sunday. It's a good weekend to travel if you're headed to the mountains tomorrow. There could be, a brief window of some snow flurries in the higher elevations early on. And then high temperatures have a huge range from the 30s to the 50s in the mountains tomorrow. It's going to be a pretty windy day in the North Carolina mountains. As we look ahead to Saturday, we'll see our temperatures recover in the southern mountains and still in the 40s in Boone and Grandfather Mountain. Not a bad weekend at the beach, but not as warm as the coast was last weekend. High temperatures in the upper 50s to mid 60s tomorrow at the coast, and similar numbers as we head into the day Saturday. It may actually be a couple degrees cooler on Saturday at the coast, the cooler air lagging behind a bit. And new information that we got just before our new newscast, the Colorado State University tropical forecast for the upcoming season just came out. And this is always the first hurricane season forecast released. We're looking at an above normal number of not just named storms, but hurricanes and major hurricanes this year. The five major hurricanes stood out to me. Usually that number's a bit more conservative. And this is no surprise given how warm the ocean waters are. and the fact that we should be back toward a La Nina year. And unfortunately, that's just not good news for the upcoming season. We'll watch that for you. In the meantime, we've got a mainly dry forecast for us. Next week, high temperatures are likely to be back in the 70s. But what a beautiful day out here in the WRAL Azalea Gardens. I love the orange ones behind me, the flame azaleas. They're always some of my favorite, Renee.
The azaleas are in full bloom and they're all beautiful colors, but we want to see red tomorrow. Yes. NASA is looking for a company to build a moon car. The top contenders for this $4.6 billion project after the break.
Talking about billions, nobody hit the jackpot in last night's Powerball drawing, so that takes the next grand prize up to $1.25 billion nearly. To see if you want a smaller prize, though, the winning Powerball numbers 11, 38, 41, 62, 65. The Powerball was 15 and the multiplier is 3.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
It's been 8 hours now since a man was shot outside a Target in Holly Springs by police officers. His name, condition, and the reason for that shooting are still unclear. Police say the man showed a gun, which is why they shot him. Right now, we know that the officers are on administrative leave, standard protocol, and the FBI is investigating.
We're waiting to learn the name of the 18-year-old who was hit and killed by two trucks on I-540. This happened near the Leesville Road exit just before midnight. Highway Patrol says a car crashed into the tree line along the I-540 ramp. At some point after the crash, the 18-year-old walked into the middle of the interstate, and he was clipped by a black pickup and hit again by a tractor trailer.
Big day's almost here for the NC State Wolfpack and fans. The men's team arrived in Arizona last night ahead of the Final Four game against Purdue on Saturday. WRL's Casey Hintz and Pat Welter are with the team in Phoenix. And WRL's Brett Neese is with the women's team in Cleveland as they prepare. Expect live reports from both crews reporting on both our teams on our evening news tonight.
University of Iowa is getting ready to cheer on Caitlin Clark and their basketball team in the NCAA Final Four. But one dental student is showing his support in a different way. Brian Deng created a mosaic of Clark out of Rubik's Cubes. He planned out a pixelated image, and then 720 Rubik's Cubes later, his masterpiece was complete. Tomorrow, Iowa takes on UConn, and the Wolfpack women face one seed South Carolina. The winners of those games will compete for the national championship on Sunday. What a masterpiece.
That is pretty cool. NASA announced its top contenders to build a new moon car. Intuitive Machines, Lunar Outpost, and Venturi Astrolab. These companies will pitch ideas for the new Artemis lunar terrain vehicle. NASA will pay out about $4.6 billion over the next 13 years on this project. They're looking for designs that can fit two suited astronauts and persist through extreme conditions on the moon.
Our pets of the day come to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Ginny is an 8-year-old spayed calico. Oswald is a 6-year-old neutered male. Ginny and her brother, Yo-Yo, were brought to the adoption center when their owner died. Sadly, Yo-Yo became sick and couldn't be saved. Now, normally, a bonded pair is two cats that come from the same home or same litter, and they rely on each other for emotional support. But in this case, Ginny chose Oswald. If you think you can give them both a forever home, visit spcawake.org. They go
Ginny,
together.
Yeah, Ginny and Ozzy. Coming up on WRL News at 4, Monday's solar eclipse is more than just a spectacle for researchers. How it will provide a deeper look into Earth's communications and infrastructure.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.